It's podcast time on XFM, the breakfast show. Best bits are in. Lots of chat and interviews and less bits with Matt Dyson. Breakfast XFM, it's Danny with Specs on XFM.
It's Danny.
It's Breakfast XFM.
It's Danny.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
Hello, how are you? And welcome to podcast number 63. I will tell you what's on it, and Matt will fill you in with a little bit of colour on or around that subject. So, quiz face.
What was it about this week? It was one based on an old TV show, or was it?
No, it was not. That is
not
a fallacy.
Not based on an old TV show.
Charlie Higson.
He was very good, talked about zombies or sickos, and there was a James Bond fact off.
Yes, careful with that phrase. Confused farmers?
Just unbelievable scenes on Dave's voicemail.
Potatoes versus eggs?
You decide.
I call out Louis Walsh.
You
weren't there for that, you were ill. Plus, what's he done this time? Get involved!
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace!
It's dark out there. It's nippy out there. And you're with us and it's going to be all right. And Matt Dyson's back. Hi, Matt.
Hi there, Daniel.
You had a little day off yesterday.
I did, yeah.
So you went to see Muse, didn't you, on Sunday night?
Yeah, we all did, didn't we?
But you.
I was standing at the bar afterwards with a big smile on my face.
Yes, you
and
were.
A relaxed sense of well-being.
Yes.
No, I didn't have to get up the next day.
Yes, yes. Whereas Dave and myself, of course, very much on edge for Sunday night. And it's dark and we're supposed to be tucked up in bed.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we sleep in bunk beds together, me and Dave.
That's true.
Clear that up.
You helped each other through it.
We did. We got through it. But what a great gig that was. And what did you do with your day yesterday?
Well, after a bit of a lie-in, I just went out to Hammersmith with my young family.
Yeah.
And went to a bit of shopping and a bit of a walk back.
What a lovely
afternoon.
Whereas we were here, weren't we, Dave? You know, I'd like you to refer to me as from now on.
Yeah.
104. Because I've been noticing recently, I saw Steve Ferdinando walk in with his little ID there.
Oh,
and even work experience Steve has got his name on his ID. You've got your name on your ID.
Yeah.
You've got your name. My ID, ladies and gentlemen, for the last 14 months has merely said, presenter 104. How special do I feel? Presenter 104.
You don't even break the top 100.
I'm not even in the top 100. Just 104. So from now on, what are you going to call me?
Presenter 104.
So give me some examples. What will happen? I'll walk in.
Morning 104.
Thank you.
You're listening to the XFM Breakfast Show with me, presenter 104.
I think it could catch on.
Yeah.
It feels like we're spies. Morning 104. Morning Dyson.
We are XFM.
In terms of national, you know, weeks, it's always one of these things, isn't it? We always get like a press release and it's this week or it's that week.
Yeah.
People got to stop doing that. It's not an idea anymore. I mean, you know, last week was National Wear a Tea Cozy on Your Head Day. That's not a thing.
No.
It's not a thing people do.
You got three, didn't you?
I got four.
Wow.
I got four tea cozies. I didn't put one of them on my head. Talk Like a Pirate Day.
That was last Wednesday.
It's international, that one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I find it very useful that day. Because it's like, someone will go, I'm celebrating International Talk Like a Pirate Day. I'm like, oh, cool. We're not hanging out.
Yeah.
It's a very good way
of identifying. It's a filter, isn't it?
It's a great filter.
Yeah.
But this week is National Egg Week, right?
Yes.
National Egg Week. It's not just National Egg Week, is it, Dave? Because you had a chat. Was it with the egg people?
No, it was with the potato people.
It's National Potato Week as well.
Yeah.
They have not... I mean, what do you do? I mean, surely they all get in touch with each other and they cross-reference their diaries. It's right down. So it's National Egg Week and National Potato Week.
Yeah, I wonder who owned the week first.
I don't know.
But the potato people were outside XFM Studios here at Leicester Square.
What, drumming up excitement?
Yeah.
They were outside today, the potato people.
They were outside this morning in the freezing cold and the rain.
The rain.
And they were very chirpy.
Yeah.
And they handed me some potato-based goods.
Yeah.
And then I just thought I'd throw it at them. And also, it's Egg Week, of course.
Oh, God.
And they just spun around.
Really?
And like,
furious.
Don't ever talk to us about Egg Week. So obviously there's...
Don't ever talk to us about Egg Week.
Sensitive issue, I think, with the potato people.
So the potato people hate the Egg Week.
Yeah.
Which implies that the egg people are jumping on the potato week bandwagon.
Yeah.
But the potato people just gave us some potato-based snacks, as you say. The egg people gave us some facts about eggs. Egg personality results. If you like poached eggs, you're likely to have two children. And it says these people are found all across the UK. Yeah, of course they are. Well, people with two kids. It's not a thing.
No.
Generally, eaters are most likely to be outgoing socially and energetic extroverts. They spelled extroverts wrong. If you like boiled eggs, you may run a greater risk of getting divorced. Please note the use of the word may there.
Wow.
Fried eggs. Fried egg eaters are most likely to be male and come from Scotland. They're just going for the fried thing there. That's what they're saying. They're just making that up. Omelettes. Eaten less frequently than all other egg dishes. Not in this studio. Omelette fans may live longer. Again, may. They may go to the moon. Less likely to get divorced. So it's potato week and it's egg week. What are we going to do here? Remember we did that, someone just texted in saying it's egg and chips all week. I suppose that's a great way of looking at it.
Wow, yeah,
what a wonderful way to look at it. If you had to choose, though, if you had to choose what's best, and we did fruit or puppies.
Yeah.
What's best?
We did gherkins or penguins.
We did gherkins or penguins. We've done fruit or puppies.
Mm.
This is more sensible. Egg or potatoes? You've got to get rid of one. You can only live on one for the rest of your life. What would it be, Dave?
It's no-brainer, Danny. It's eggs all the way for me. I see
You're an absolute nit.
Very much as an egg.
Yeah.
Hard on the outside, soft on the inside.
Oh.
Of course, you can have poached, scrambled, fried.
Loopy.
You name it, eggs can do it.
You name it, eggs can do it.
Yolk and whites. It's an excellent idea.
Oh, is it Easter already?
Yeah.
You say eggs can do it.
Yeah.
Potato faces? Can eggs do that? Can you have little eggs? Like dozens of little eggs all in little, making little smiley faces at you that you pop in an oven? No, you can't do that. You'd look ridiculous even just trying it. Can you have egg croquettes? You can't. Diced egg? You can, yeah, fair enough. You can dice a boiled egg, but it wouldn't be as good as diced fried potatoes.
No.
Potatoes are waffly versatile. I've said it once, I'll say it a million times. You, Dave Masterman, are living in the dream world if you think eggs are excellent. They're not. Potatoes all the way.
We are XFM.
Well, a gentleman proposed to a lady. A gentleman proposed to a lady. He did it in quite an unusual way. His name's Ryan. He's a pilot, right? He flies little planes. And he decided to treat his partner to a romantic flight on this little plane. And then, this was his big plan, right? This is his big plan. He pretended that the plane was getting into some difficulty. That's what he was pretending. And he was filming the journey at the same time. At which point, if I was the girl, I'd be going, why are you filming this?
Yeah.
Bring the aircraft to safe halt, please, is what I would have said. Anyway, Then he pretended it was in some trouble. So he said, quickly, read the ring engagement procedure. So then she had to get out a small piece of paper and read the ring engagement procedure.
Right.
Which was actually the proposal.
Yeah.
I wonder when she... I mean, it's quite a desperate move, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She didn't really have a choice.
She didn't really have a choice. And also, only through reminding her of the value of life would she then have accepted the thing? I think it's quite a... Ordinarily, how did you get engaged? Oh, well, he pretended that the aircraft was... I mean, it's kind of... I don't approve of this, Dave. What's your feeling?
Well, yeah, he really backed her into the corner slightly, didn't he?
He did.
In that she, like, you know, she was probably quite desperate to read whatever was on that paper to get herself out of this tricky
situation. And he's just there with his phone.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, also, you're not supposed to use phones on... Anyway.
Yeah.
You know those cardboard policemen you sometimes see in shops?
Yeah, now
they work apparently. They work very, very well.
I've never seen one.
You've never seen one?
No, I hear about them all the time.
I know. I know why that is that you've never seen one.
Why?
Because you hail from Northern Britain,
right?
And
go on.
And they had one of these because it's supposed to remind people of morality and legality.
Yeah.
So they tried it out in Barnsley, but it was nicked. Isn't that great? So where's the policeman? He must be on his rounds. No, someone's made off with PC Bobby.
Oh, no.
It's a terrible thing. So in Barnsley, the people of Barnsley should be ashamed this morning. Someone just nicked it. I think it's great. What are we going to... Imagine if this is some kind of shoplifting ring. And he's like, what did you get from the shop today? Just this massive cardboard cutout of the policeman to look over us.
We are
XFM.
Want to keep this light, you know? Want to keep this light. But there are some things that it's very hard to keep light, you know, when you've got rage in your heart, you know, and fire in your belly, and fury in your eyes. It's very hard to keep it light. Because here on the Important Broadcast, and there's one right now, Important Broadcast,
yeah.
Right? A phrase that we use. We have you, the confirmed listeners. There's another one. Confirmed listeners, you know? And it's not just because I've had a bad glass of wine.
I hope not.
I'm talking, of course, of the various things that we say here on the XFM Breakfast Show, you know? And I've noticed, Dave.
Yeah.
This show kind of pervading popular culture. Do you know what I mean? Mm. It's getting out there. It's little things. I'm like a conspiracy theorist. Just picking up on tiny signals. I mean, you know, the last song of every show, what's that called?
Well, the feature's called The Showstopper.
Showstopper. It stops the show. It's the showstopper. It's the showstopper of a song. Songs are showstoppers, aren't they? Yeah. You get a big song, it's like a showstopper. That's what they call it. And it stops our show. It's very
stops
clever.
The show.
Well, hello, Mary Berry.
But the showstopper today is full of surprises.
Yeah. So we're heading into a very interesting showstopper day. Enough.
It's all on the showstopper.
Let's enjoy the showstopper.
Doesn't make sense for a cake. It makes sense for a song.
Yeah.
That's why we got the showstopper.
That's a good point.
Doesn't make sense for a cake. Can't say a cake's a showstopper. There's this thing as a cake that stops a show. It's a song that stops a show. It was a showstopping cake. And I'll let that go, Mary Berry, but I'm after you, and I will... I won't use violence, but I will intimidate you. Okay? That's what I'm saying. That's my cast iron guarantee. And I thought that was enough. I thought, you know, the Great British Bake Off, showstopper, fine, whatever. Coincidence, can happen. Can happen, can't it? And there's other things we say on the show. For example, we get the voiceover lady, Tony, to say things like this.
That's not good news.
That's great news.
Absolutely. It's a little thing. It's not good news. Oh, what is it then? It's great news. Ah, nice twist. Mm. David Hasselhoff, what do you think?
That's not good news. That's great news.
Well, imagine my disgust. Imagine my disgust when I received tweet after tweet after tweet after tweet after email after tweet.
Yeah.
About a certain Saturday night show involving notorious clown Louis Walsh.
Guys, it's not good news.
Oh, no.
Wait for it.
It's great news.
No! I'm after you. When I'm finished with Mary Berry, I'm after you, Louis Walsh. Totally after you.
How dare thee, sir?
Huh? It's a big joke to you, isn't it, Louis Walsh?
That's a big joke.
Oh, I'm a little magpie. My catchphrase magpie. I'll fly around and I'll... It's not just him either. Nicole Scherzinger.
James, it's not good news. It's freaking amazing news.
I despair. I despair. At least she put her own spin on it.
Mm.
At least that creative powerhouse was able to take the first half and mildly adapt it.
It could have just been a coincidence.
Do you think that, Dave?
It could have been.
Do you think that?
It could have been.
Louis Walsh, Mary Berry, at my absolute nemesis now. Nicole, I'm leaving to one side. She's neither hither or thither.
She got it wrong. If she did go for it, she got it wrong.
She messed up big time.
I gotta say, Louis Walsh, she pulled it. It sounded all right.
That's more than enough for me, thank you.
He delivered it really well.
More than enough from you.
Lovely timing. Left 4 or 5 seconds to build the tension, then bang, that's great news. Maybe we could learn a thing or two. I don't know.
Shut up, Dave.
We are... XFM.
We look towards a week of, it's National Egg Week. It's also National Potato Week. We're saying, obviously, it can only be one. We can't celebrate both at once. That would be lunacy. I've got lots planned for either one. I've got two portfolios. One that I'll open up if it's Egg Week, and one, obviously, for Potato Week that I do every year. I just don't know which way to go. Danny, XFM shares a frequency with BBC Radio Leicester in the Leicestershire region. Although right now, who would know the difference, says someone. Let's battle it out. So, National Egg Week, National Potato Week. I've set my stall out, and it's a potato stall. Do you have
potatoes.
Egg stalls? Yeah, exactly. I guess you have an egg stall, don't you?
Yeah, I've got an egg stall.
Eggs. You've opened up your egg box, and there's lots of good egg reasoning in there. But mm-hmm. tell me, Dave, why eggs?
Well, some really astute kind of reasoning here.
Yeah.
And some great answers. Mark the Spark, without eggs, there would be no cake. Without cake, there would be no fat people. And as everybody knows, fat people are jolly.
They're jolly, aren't they? Yes, no, that's
so
a good point.
It would be a much unhappier place.
So that's for eggs. Yeah, Michael in Rysham says, gotta be spuds. Without them, there wouldn't be the classic child's toy, Mr. Potato Head.
Potatoes.
I wouldn't want to be responsible for robbing any child of years. years of enjoyment of stabbing plastic face pieces into a vegetable. Absolutely right, Michael. Good point, well made.
Sonia in Beckingham, initially I thought potatoes, then I realised that I seldom have potatoes in my weekly shop.
Oh.
But I always have eggs, so eggs it is. Eggs are the best.
Eggs.
Well, really, Gemma in Bromley says, guys, please, let's not fight. It's time the potato and the egg world's reconciled. Why can we not have the best of both worlds? I frequently partake in an egg and potato frittata, for example. Oh. Even include a few vegetables, just so I don't feel left out. Having said that, she says, potato all the way.
Potatoes.
No chance you'll get partial chicken embryos in them. Good point, well made. What about you, Dave?
Alan the cabbie says, Danny, you can't make omelettes by breaking potatoes, can
you?
Well,
no, that's true, isn't it? Yes, absolutely. Helen in Edinburgh says potatoes all the way, and you know why? It's when you cut up potato into cuboidal shapes and put them in the oven, you get the glorious invention that are chips. Try that with eggs whatsoever. And what do you get? You know, you get oven-baked eggs. What even is that? Oven-baked eggs? Don't like it. Arrest my case, says Helen.
Potatoes.
Yeah. For the 21st century male, this one's from Mark. He's saying, for the carb-conscious male of today, eggs are the only choice.
Is
only a
right?
fool would eat potatoes after 6 p.m.
Eggs. After 6 p.m. Ben from Bracknell, potatoes, because of two words. Hash browns. Absolutely point well made. Ian from Tottenham. In a Mexican standoff, the potato is king. Jog on, eggs, you nits. Yeah. What else?
Well, just one final one here. The fact that we are called Eggs FM.
Eggs.
So that's it.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, you've had that one. Grace just says, got any potatoes? Whoever heard of Mr. Egghead? You know, well, actually, no, it does work as maybe a quiz show. But never catch on. Also, you can make clocks out of potatoes. I rest my case. Confirm Mr. Fran, potatoes all the way. Baked, fried, boiled, mashed. The variety is endless, although it does end there. And he finally just says, who here goes for a takeaway and orders a portion of eggs? Exactly. It's the last thing you want on a night out, portion of eggs. Well, it's pretty evenly split. You know what I think we'll do? You know what I think we'll do? And I'm serious when I say this.
Right. I'm trying to think.
I think we don't reveal who's won until tomorrow, when we should have on the line a representative of National Potato Week and a representative of National Egg Week.
Okay.
And we'll apply a tension drone and we will dub whatever week is appropriate. And we'll do it live tomorrow. That's what's happening.
XFM. We are XFM.
Good morning, you're back with the XFM Breakfast Show. Our guest this morning is the marvellous Charlie Higson. His new book, The Sacrifice, is out. It's in a series of books called The Enemy, which also involves other books called, like, The Fear, everything like that. All of them aimed at the...
The Dead.
The Dead.
That's another one.
The Zombie, The Dead, exactly. What's the other one called?
Well, we've done them now.
Oh, they're all done, yeah, The Sacrifice, yeah. Four. Terrible at counting. But also, I mean, the Young Bond series has been such a great success. And how were you approached?
I wish I could say it was my idea, but it wasn't. It was the Ian Fleming estate, who owned James Bond, were looking for someone to write the early adventures of James Bond, because, you know, James Bond is such an iconic, popular character.
Yeah.
Thought, well, it's something that kids would like to read. And, you know, being a lifelong fan, when they approached me, I said yes.
Don't you also play James Bond in something?
Yeah, I've just filmed. It's actually a Miss Marple script, which I wrote, called A Caribbean Mystery.
Oh, nice.
And what they like to do in the Miss Marple scripts is put in real figures from history.
Uh-huh.
And because,
like Charlie Higson?
Yes. No, Ian Fleming had a house in Jamaica.
Yes.
The Goldeneye.
Yes.
As your listeners will know.
Yes.
So I put Ian Fleming in, and I thought, well, if I'm putting Ian Fleming in, I should put James Bond in as well. Because, as you will know, Danny...
Mm-hmm.
Well, where did Ian Fleming get the name of James Bond from?
He got it from Birds of the West Indies, which was written by James Bond,
exactly,
with illustrations by Arthur B. Singer.
Very good.
Yeah.
So I thought you would. You're the kind of nerd who'd know. So I thought, well, I'll put James Bond in as well. So one of the scenes at the hotel is James Bond, the American ornithologist, comes to give a lecture on Birds of the West Indies.
Ah, so you play that James Bond?
I played that James Bond, yeah. So my lifetime's ambition to play James Bond, I almost got there.
Goldeneye, of course, is his estate in Jamaica, which, of course, is just off the Jamaican former banana port of, you'll know this.
I don't know that.
Oricabessa.
Oh, yes, near, it is. And it was a donkey racing track.
That's right. Look at this, we're facing off James Bond fans.
Of Chris Blackwell's mother.
He did, who had bought it off Bob Marley.
No.
Oh!
He bought it off Chris Blackwell's mother, and then Chris Blackwell tried to buy it for Bob Marley after Ian Fleming died.
I see. Hey, look, the new book, The Sacrifice, is out now. It's the fourth book in your terrifying zombie-like adventure series.
Yes.
Thanks very much indeed, Charlie. And just to finish, you'll know this. What was the name of Commander Ian Fleming's former gardening assistant?
Former gardening assistant?
That's right.
Oh, what, at Goldeneye?
Take as much time as you need.
Oh, he was out there. I met him. He was great because he was telling all these stories about Ian
Didn't
Fleming,
ask you for an opinion.
Patently untrue.
Asked you for a fact. His name
was
Ramsey. This is XFM.
XFM.
Matt's exhausted. His baby's not sleeping.
No.
All that on top of your ordinary sleep problems.
Exactly.
The night terrors that you get, the sweats.
Yeah, the sweats, yeah.
It's only sweats on a Sunday night, though, isn't it?
Mainly
of a Sunday. I thought you sweated the whole week through.
Just a Sunday, yeah.
With your scratch mitts, your beard guard.
Yeah. And my sleep apnea, of course, which is a nightmare.
Snoring. Oh, of course. What, you have your snoring as well? Well, no wonder your baby's not sleeping.
Well, no, exactly.
You're a terrifying figure walking around, all dressed up. What time do you get ready for bed? About 6. It must take you ages to get ready for bed. You should get like a sponge mattress as well for the sweats.
Soak it up. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a marvellous thing, a romantic thing for your fiance to do every morning. Just wring out the bed.
Ring it out into the pot plants. And
always thinking of ways to save money. Bring the water bills down. Just using the natural salt. You go, no, salty water's good. Good for the pot plants.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. And Dave is in front of me now wearing a full-on... it's a big duffel.
It's a huge duffel coat.
It's
really cold.
If you remember Rupert the Bear.
Rupert the Bear, yes.
He's got his Rupert the Bear duffel on.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there. It's like, are you guys all right? Because there's Mr. Sleep Deprived and then there's you with, what's going on with your body temperature?
I'm boiling right now.
Are you?
Yeah, I need to take this off.
You should take your duffel off.
I've just not got round to it.
You don't feel the benefit.
So busy this morning. Just
are you?
Yeah.
You're going to be a rock star soon.
I am, yeah.
You are appearing, on a brand new album by some XFM legends.
Brand new album. I've been offered, I think just me, because they know I'm very good at this.
Yes.
Offered to perform on the new Suede album.
Yes. Ooh. Yes, just you.
I think so.
I think it's just you.
They're after a hand clapper.
Oh, brilliant. A hand clapper.
They must have heard me. Now, I see the impressed looks on you guys' faces when I start clapping.
Yeah, you're a wonderful clapper.
Yeah.
You go like the clappers.
Yeah.
And in fact, the other day, we were filming something, weren't we, the three of us, for the website.
Yeah.
And the gentleman filming... Now, when they've got two cameras or something, you have to do a hand clap, don't you, to sync the cameras. So that when they add sound, they know they can add the sound to that moment, and they know where the sound goes. And didn't ask me. I've been doing stuff like this for many years.
Yeah, you've been clapping for years, haven't you?
Haven't I, just? Yeah, you've made many, many videos as well, Matt.
Yeah.
And they went straight to little Dave and just said, would you do the clap? Why? Mm. What is it about you and the clapping?
I don't know. It's weird, isn't it? They obviously just, they see the talent there, and they go for the person that they know is going to do the best job. This is exactly what Brett Anderson done, I think.
Maybe he's
gone, get me Dave Masterman.
Maybe he saw that video and went, who did the sink clap on that? Yeah, because the sink is wonderful. Who did the sink clap out of interest? And they went as a young lad called Dave Masterman.
Yeah.
Wonderful sense of rhythm.
Yeah.
Well, how do you know that from one clap? There's no rhythm in that.
Excellent action. Go on, give us one.
Give us a clap.
Listen to it.
Bear this in mind, this is a left-handed clap, and I think that's where the strengths lie.
They're always going for the quirky, aren't they, Suede?
Yeah. Oh,
that's very good.
Well, yeah.
You see, look, I'm clapping you and I'm just doing it badly. Yeah. Oh, well done, Dave. So I can't wait to hear that on the release track. You're doing it on Friday. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks.
XFM.
Jean, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Hi, Jean. How's it going?
I'm really good. Really good.
Tell me everything about yourself starting from day one.
I was born.
Yep.
Happy child.
Good.
Up.
Excellent. Moving into the teenage years now, please.
New wave, punk rock.
Excellent. Now to your 20s.
20s. Oh, what did I do? Get married.
Very nice. Good. And we'll leave it there because...
I'm going up.
Exactly. Now, listen, Jean, we've had a few last-minute legal problems with this one. It shouldn't interrupt the flow of Quizface too much. It turned out that a few interested parties decided that this week's format was, in their words, a little too similar to one already in existence, which I find ludicrous and offensive, Jean. But we've had to comply, so we've changed things at last moment. It's just infuriating, isn't it, what these nosy Parker, sort of officious, oh, look at me, Jobsworth ninny hammers do, isn't it, Jean?
Very much so.
You know what I call them, Jean? I call them programme prevention officers. Anyway, I will move on. You know, I won't let it affect it. So are you ready for Quizface, Jean?
I think so.
Well, you should know the rules by now, so let's get quizzical.
Quizface.
And this week's Quizface, if I'm still allowed to call it that, thanks to the lawyers, Well, it's the interactive adventure game show, The Quiztal Maze. That's right, it's The Quiztal Maze.
The Quiztal Maze is in no way affiliated with the Channel 4 game show broadcast on terrestrial television between February 1990 and August 1995, the rights to which are owned by Chatsworth Television and its CEO, Malcolm Hayworth.
Just for clarity. So, round one, Gene, and let's introduce the zones.
Global Radio PLC respects entirely Chatsworth Television's rights to the original broadcast and would never seek to breach any industry standard intellectual property rights agreement.
So, first of all, Gene, it is, of course, the industrial zone. Moving around the grid, we've also got the medieval zone, Gene. Just beyond that, the ocean zone.
Global Radio PLC fully understands that themed zones are a crucial part of the Quiztal Maze format, but does not accept that this alone makes a case for copyright theft.
And finally, Gene, the Aztec zone.
Yeah, okay, the Aztec zone. You got us there.
So, we'll start in the Aztec zone. Is that okay with you, Gene?
Yep, fine.
It's very yellow. Now, you're rowing across a small river with your teammate in another canoe. Your vice captain is in that boat, just in case one of the boats sinks. Now, by complete coincidence, television's Richard O'Brien is also in the other boat. And you arrive at a jetty.
This is pretty much just a rip-off show now.
It's not a rip-off of...
Then what's Richard O'Brien doing there?
He's just interested. He's just got varied interests, you know. He's a man of many interests. You're ruining my idea for an adventure quiz show.
Chatsworth Television's idea for an adventure quiz show.
You arrive at a jetty, Gene, and you disembark, and you see a large dome.
Ooh, a dome. That's original.
It is original. I'm trying to help Gene. You see a large dome with some silver and gold tokens in it.
Let me guess. They all fly about.
They're all flying about. Steve, you're ruining what I've tried to.
This was a pretty major format point.
Stop it now. And one of the tokens lands in your lap, Gene, and you pick it up and you read it. And you can't quite believe what it says.
Does it say Quiztal Maze on it?
No, it doesn't say Quiztal Maze on it at all.
Does it say property of Chatsworth Television on it?
No. On the tokens, Gene, it says very simply the words, "We are
going to court for copyright theft."
No, it says shut it. It says we are what, Gene?
XFM.
Yes, it does! And that's why it's original. I'm sick of these ninny hammers, Gene. Sick of them. It's not even a job, is it? Programme prevention officer. Oh, you're going to mention Chatsworth Television. Michael Hepworth, you know, he was the originator of the format. He retired in 2006 and he wound Chatsworth Television down. And therefore it's up for grabs. XFM. Going to play you something in a moment. A very unusual thing. In the old days, you'd get a lot more wrong numbers. And I suppose that's because nowadays, we program people's numbers into our phones. So we just go by the name. In the old days, you had to remember, what was his number? 0207. And then you do it and you get a wrong number. Mm. And you get crossed lines and things like that. You had a lot more fun with telephony. Do you know what I mean?
Those were the days.
More risk. You had to rely on your own memory and your own brain. Now, nothing. Unless you're a certain farmer, it seems. A certain farmer who tried to remember, I guess in a panic, his friend's number. It was a panicky situation. And inadvertently dialed the number of producer Dave Masterman here.
Hello.
Who received a voicemail from a panicked farmer.
I did.
And what was your thoughts? What was your thought process when first you heard this?
Well, obviously, at first, you don't think it's a wrong number, so you're racking your brains. Just trying to run through your life, really.
Yes. This farmer, why is he in a panic? Why has he rung me?
Yeah, because it turns out they've lost something. But it was slightly confusing, but at the same time, rather amusing.
I suppose, imagine, ladies and gentlemen, if you turned on your voicemail, and this is what you heard.
Hi, this is a message from Dan to Dan from Joey Angel. Dan might sound silly, this, but have you taken the sheep off George Glover's field behind me? We sat there yesterday, and this morning, I got up, I didn't see them, and the wife had come back from the school, Ron. I said, have you seen the sheep this morning? He said, no. And he certainly can't see them. Can't see any sheep from where we are. So I said, whether you came and took them late last night or something, I don't know. But certainly they don't appear to be there this morning. Cheers, Dan. Bye.
So someone's taken the sheep off George Glover's field.
Yeah.
And he's got back and he's going, this might sound silly, but have you taken the sheep off George Glover's field? Where have the sheep on George Glover's field gone?
No one knows.
I'm worried
about it. Does George Glover know? It's his field. So he's obviously got in touch with that guy and going, did you take the sheep off my field? And he's like, I'll ring Dan. So Dan rang Dan, but got Dave instead. And then it was followed up, wasn't it, by another message. And this was, I think, was this from George Glover? Whose field it was?
I think, I'm not too sure who this one's from, but obviously it's another...
I think it's from George Glover.
I think it's from George, and obviously he's also got the farmer's number, which turns out to be my number.
Yeah, because the first Dan will have phoned the other Dan, but got your number, and then said to George Glover, I don't know where your sheep are, but I've rung Dan. Here's Dan's number. Why don't you give Dan a ring as well, and see if you can track your sheep down, because we've got a saw... Because the lads came back from school, and we noticed that none of the sheep were in the field.
Yeah, but I think with the second one, the concern's growing slightly.
Well, it is right. Here it is.
Hello, Dan. It's George Glover here. Somebody at the village at Bradley just rung up saying there's sheep all over the village. Okay, Dan. Thanks. Bye.
The sheep are all over the village. The sheep are all over the village.
Like a mini soap opera happening on my phone.
Everyone's going, why isn't Dan returning our calls? You know, the sheep disappeared from George Glover's field. Now George Glover's got a panic call from town going, the sheep are all over the village. Where's Dan? Do we know what happened to Dan?
Well, we don't know what happened to the sheep in the end. We hope.
Dan.
Yeah.
He's getting in the neck now, isn't he? He's in the doghouse. Sheep all over the village.
So I hope to receive more of those in the coming weeks. I'll keep you updated.
It's just the best series of wrong numbers we could possibly have. Given our jobs are in radio and breakfast radio at that, how much more perfect could that have been?
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet.
XFM. Quiz Face.
Hello, I'm confirmed listener Jean, and I take full responsibility for any and all copyright infringements of intellectual property rights of Chatsworth Television. Malcolm Hayworth or Channel 4 during this morning's important broadcast. I must have just had a bad moment and got completely carried away. I'd like to thank Global Radio PLC for their support and apologise to any family or friends I may have let down. Piracy is theft, guys. Thank you, Chris Hayes. Thank you, Danny Wallace.
We are...
A video of a giant black bear being scared off by an angry wife has become an online hit. 1.3 million people in just 5 days have seen this. And in the footage, it doesn't say where this has happened, but I imagine it's America. This lady just looks out of her window and just sees a giant black bear just sauntering across the garden. I like the use of the word sauntering. It makes me imagine that the bear is wearing a trilby and smoking a pipe. Yeah. An arrogant bear just taking a shortcut across a garden. So then she just goes out there and starts shouting at him, just going, get out right now. Get out of my garden. And the bear just kind of goes, oh, what have I done this time? Turns tail, hurries away and makes good its escape across the lawn. And one of the posters just says, the people posting on YouTube just says, years of practice. That lady's obviously been married for years from the tone of her voice.
No.
Oh, she's long-suffering, isn't she? I wonder what her husband's done this time.
Oh, the battle axe.
Probably. He's been having honey sandwiches in the garden again, isn't he? You know what that does? That attracts the bears. Oh, sorry. I'm in the doghouse. Matt, are you in the doghouse?
Oh, well, you'll never guess. You know me.
What have you done this time?
Well, due to our little bambino, the apple of my eye, the little milk guzzler, teething and having a blooming cold at the moment.
Well, if it rains, it pours.
Exactly. Well, as a result, her indoors has not been getting much beauty sleep.
No.
She's at the end of her tether.
I bet.
Therefore, everything I do appears to be wrong. I go to the shop, I've bought the wrong things. I cook tea, I've not made it right.
Matthew.
I'm walking on eggshells, Danny. All the way to the doghouse.
Oh. problem with you, Matt, and I've heard her say this before, it just with you, it just goes in one ear and out the other.
I don't listen.
I actually don't. Dave, what you done this time?
Oh, you know me.
Yeah, what you done this time?
I only left the house in a real rush the other day, leaving a light and extractor fan on in the bathroom. Oh,
you, you treat this place like a hotel.
The other half nearly blew a gasket.
you know Muggins here.
What you done this time?
Well, I was only supposed to take the old garden table out of the basement and roll it up the stairs and out the front so the council could come and pick it up, wasn't I? Now, I'd already tried to cut a few corners by trying to wedge it into the car. That was a waste of time.
You and your harebrained schemes!
So the old ball and chain.
Just you remember to take... Just you remember to take it out in the morning.
Well, I'm sorry if she's listening. Well, I only forgot, didn't I? Oh. Meaning the old trouble and strife. I had to roll it up some stairs at 7 in the morning in the drizzle in her nightgown and slippers. Ruined her rollers.
If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times.
Shrieks at the man-hater. So I'm in the doghouse. That's what's happened there. It's time to deal with a big issue. Well, you can imagine my surprise yesterday when I arrived here at Studio XFM to see Dave Masterman holding a small box with some potato products in it. And I said, what's that? And he said, it's potato products. And I was like, where you got these potato products? And he says, well, it's National Potato Week.
Yeah.
And then you took a slight step closer to me, didn't you? And you said, but it's also National Egg Week.
Yes.
I was like, what? Which is it? Stop confusing. Is it egg? Start again. I made him start again. He said, it's Potato Week. And it's Egg Week. And I was like, how on earth do I process this? How does this happen, first of all? And... if this is some kind of war going on, if it's like the potato people hijacking the egg people's week or vice versa, how did it come to this?
Yeah.
How did we get to the point, Matt, where potatoes and eggs are fighting over a week? Both are wonderful. Both are absolutely wonderful. Mm. So on the line, from the British Egg Information Service, we have Kevin Coles. Kevin, are you there?
I'm here. Happy British Egg Week.
Happy Egg Week to you, sir. And from the Potato Council, we have Caroline Evans. Are you there, Caroline?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Potato Week to you.
And back to you, and Happy Egg Week as well.
Happy Egg Week. Now, Caroline started off very strong there by saying Happy Egg Week to you, Kevin. Kevin, can I ask you why you didn't wish Caroline a Happy Potato Week?
Yeah, well, you see, potatoes and eggs are quite good together anyway. Because we do the protein, they do the carbs.
Yeah, I see. So already we're finding, well, not common ground, but at least a relationship that could be built on. Caroline, would you be willing to in some way join up with Kevin and the British Egg Information Service in order to move things forward between the two of you?
You know, I'm already thinking a football might be the way forward.
Already you're thinking,
I think it was.
I see. Well, this is wonderful news. Can I ask how this happened? How this administrative cock-up happened? Did you not check each other's weeks?
Well, we've been running British Egg Week for about 25 years now.
Oh, Caroline.
No.
Caroline, 25 years, a quarter of a century of celebrating the world of the egg. How long has Potato Week been going, Caroline?
We are a little bit newer, I have to confess.
How much newer?
I'm trying not to confess because quite a lot newer.
Is this the first one, Caroline?
Sort of.
Oh, Kevin. However, Kevin, Caroline and the potato people have ignored a proud 25-year history of Egg Week. How does that make you feel?
Well, you know, all weeks are good weeks. I mean, Egg Week is the best week, but all weeks are good weeks.
All weeks are good weeks. That's the egg way, isn't it? But Caroline, why did you choose this week in particular to sum up the world of the potato?
Do you know what? It's because potatoes are one of those foods eaten all over the place. And we actually work across Europe.
and we had to agree a week where we could all celebrate the potato harvest when it was happening in lots of different countries.
I see.
So one of the pioneers, and that's why it's this week.
I see. Kevin, Caroline's blaming Europe for this. How do you feel as a member of Brit Egg? You know, very much a nationalistic thing.
Well, we have World Egg Day, but, you know, that's in a couple of weeks' time, so I can come back on and talk to you about World Egg Day.
That'd be marvellous.
This is just for Britain. This is just British Egg Week.
Caroline, you
We're
mentioned...
We're proud of our British lion eggs.
Caroline, you mentioned Europe there. Kevin took it further and talked about World Egg Day. Have you got anything slightly bigger than Europe?
Do you know what? I'm just going to have to go straight in to World Fourth biggest food crop, so...
Boom! In your face, Kevin, it's the world's fourth biggest food crop. What you got? She's thrown you a hot potato.
I would say size isn't everything.
Size isn't everything, Caroline. You get baby potatoes, don't you?
You know what? We're in sizes, so yeah. And that's actually what Potato Week is all about, is letting people know what you do with your different types of potatoes.
Well, absolutely. Guys, just to let you know, Liam in Bexley wants to know if you've considered teaming up with the Pork Council to create Ham, Eggs and Chips Week.
We're open for anything here at the British Egg Information Service, so yeah.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds like eggs are on board. Caroline?
Do you know what? We're already there. We've already done something with our pork counterparts. We had created the most expensive sausage and snack.
They seem way ahead of you, Kevin. It seems like you're living in the past.
On that one, I would say, you know, we couldn't do that because eggs are so cheap. So why would we come up with the most expensive of everything? Yeah.
Well, there you go. Kevin's saying that eggs are value for money. I think the implication there is that potatoes are overpriced, Caroline.
Luckily, I know I have one of the most good value products out there, and you know what? The world's most expensive sausage mat. So you get a bag of Dazire, which you could buy from any supermarket.
Good. Something about potatoes being bought from every supermarket. You cracked up slightly there, I'm afraid. An egg. No, that's all right. That's all right. It's a good quality product, though. Listen, there is actually on Denton Road in Newcastle a shop, guys. It started as a fruit and vegetable shop that had a milk round. They then decided to concentrate on their two most popular products. It's a shop called Potato and Egg Shop. And I think that this is a place that you could really concentrate your efforts on and spearhead a campaign starting at 361 Denton Road, Newcastle. Your thoughts, please.
I think Carol and I should certainly go there for lunch.
Boom, it sounds like we got a date.
Yes.
Hey, Kevin from the Brit Egg Information Service, happy Egg Week to you, sir.
And to you.
Caroline Evans from the Potato Council, happy Potato Week to you.
Thank you.
It was a hot potato, they were good eggs. This is XFM. And then he said XFM there. Sorry, Caroline.
We are
XFM.
Now what you need, don't you? You need to be popped into the no-biz. Because right now you're in the I-don't-know-biz. So let me show you my business. Well, according to the newspapers, Rihanna wore a T-shirt and sunglasses and turned up for a flight slightly late. But not late enough to not get on her plane, so that was absolutely fine. There's no worries there.
WTF.
I know. I mean, are you... T-shirt, sunglasses, I mean, it was a red dress.
It's an unbelievable combo, isn't it?
Yeah.
What an amazing story. I call her Riri now.
Do you?
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing that?
I love calling her Riri.
Yeah, go on, do it a bit more.
Oh, it's Riri. Look at her outfit. Oh, isn't she great?
T-shirt and sunglasses for a flight.
Yeah.
Honestly. Kirk from The Only Way Is Essex went for a run. Victoria Beckham wore a backpack.
Ooh. And egg lows.
Papers can't believe it. Imagine Vic, as I call her.
Yeah.
With a backpack.
I can't imagine it.
A Vic backpack.
That's so not Vic.
It's a no-no. The Vic backpack. Pictures of Ronan Keating, quote, kissing, cuddling and frolicking in the mirror. It's so good to see that guy frolicking.
It is. He hasn't frolicked for a while.
I was wondering at one point, Matt, if he was ever going to frolic again.
Yeah.
It is rare to see a grown man frolic, isn't it?
Yeah.
There he is.
But it seems a lot of them do.
It's frolicking away. There's the kissing and the cuddling, I can understand, but the frolicking is just so good to see.
Yeah. Hello.
Lisa Riley's back. She's on Strictly.
Am I in a dream?
You're not. This is 2012.
Oh, yeah, we've not seen her since you've been framed.
That's
2008,
right.
2008.
YBF.
Yeah,
2008.
At last, she's back.
She's back. on Strictly. She's set to be the first woman on the show's history, it says here, to hoist her male partner up on the show. As history
people
goes,
will talk of this for years.
They will, they will. It's proper history, isn't it? It's up there with Lincoln and Armstrong. Now it's Rai Rai, as I call him. Ed Sheeran wore a T-shirt with two ducks getting married on it. Daniel Craig psyched himself up for Skyfall action scenes by watching Holmes Under the Hammer. Martin was delighted. Absolutely delighted.
No way.
Kirsty Allsop once told Phil Spencer, and this is code, I'm going to change the words, to flip away.
Lols.
That's what she said.
Wow.
And spotted, finally, Vern Troyer running around the children's section of H&M in Westfields.
That happened to a mate of mine.
And now you're in the Novas. We are... Oh, my goodness me. When are you going to learn? Matt, when are they going to learn? Well, I don't know, Danny.
It's like a stuck record, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm reading this. I think I've heard everything now, Matt. I think I've heard everything now.
You have.
Why don't you kick us off?
Well, you know Ian in Tottenham.
Oh, what's he done this time?
Well, his better half wasn't his biggest fan last night.
Oh, yeah.
She had had a rubbish day and a cold and was fishing for a phone call to rant. So I thought just a tiny bit of Xbox, which turned into hours and a late-night phone call that woke her up.
Ian.
She was fuming.
I bet she was. You're in the doghouse, aren't you? You know, Danny and Shadwell.
What's he done this time?
He only went and forgot to pick the wife up from work. He only went and fell asleep while watching The Big Bang Theory. Oh. An angry text, didn't he? Woke up to an angry text saying, "Where are you?" So he told the truth and said, "I'm en route, but I had a puncture, love." "Never show them your weakness, Danny," says Shadwell. Says Shadwell, not Danny and Shadwell.
You know Dave in Sheffield.
What's he done this time?
He's only forgot to put the recycling out this week.
Oh.
Now he has to trudge 5 minutes down the road to the local recycling site. What a disaster.
What a disaster. Sometimes I wonder if I'm talking to myself with that fella.
He does it every week.
Every week. In one ear, out the other. You know Dave in Colchester.
What's he done this time?
He only went and left the house this morning. He noticed, didn't he, that foxes had ripped the bin bags to pieces to get to a chicken carcass and left the contents all over the drive. You know what he did? He ignored it, got in his car, drove to work.
Oh.
He says, "I'll be in the doghouse when Aaron Dawes sees that." Yes, you will. You
it's
should be in the doghouse.
It's all about him, isn't it?
It's all about him. You know, Jim.
What's he done this time?
He's in the doghouse so often he started to call it the kennel. Teacher Alan, what about you?
You know me.
What you done this time?
I only went told Lady Mux that I'd be ready at 7:30 to go to the cinema last night. Oh. Next thing I know, she's screaming, "Are you sleeping? I'm ready." Well, I had 40 winks on the sofa. Gulp. She'll have my spleen for tights. Yoink.
She'll have his spleen for tights, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, guts for garters, guts for garters.
You know, Grace in Surrey.
What's she done this time?
Well, you know she likes a good curry.
Oh, it's Grace, Curry Grace, I call her.
Well, yesterday she stood up her friend and instead of going to the gym with him, went for a curry.
Oh,
she is not best pleased.
That's a disgrace. And finally, you know, confirmed listener, Steve.
What's he done this time?
Well, you know his girlfriend. What's she done this time?
What's she done this time?
Well, she only went all day yesterday without checking her phone, which contained 12 missed calls and a text to say I'd be working late, so please take care of the Asda delivery. Suffice to say, we now have no food. And Dexter has to go without his requisite luncheon meat.
Oh, that blooming dog!
That dog!
We are
XFM.
Analytics.
4 hours of important broadcasting, Dave Masterman. What have you learned? What will you take away from it? What's the take-home value for you?
Oh, lots, Danny, but I'm going to start with this. This morning's important broadcast took an unusual yet impassioned twist. as Danny caught the imagination of London and beyond due to the fact that it's both National Egg Week and National Potato Week.
Who'd have thought?
As a result, debate raged as to whether the former or the latter were indeed the better type of food.
Yes.
Unbelievably, this was all on-air content.
As Matt takes yet another day off due to work-related stress, it's little wonder after one of our well-established and oft-used catchphrases was stolen by an X Factor producer and spoon-fed to Louis Walsh, a man who looks like a sad clown with no makeup.
Guys, it's not good news.
It's great news!
Come on!
Well, this is war, Louis Walsh. The XFM Breakfast Show, your Saturday night, ends here.
We are XFM.
So that was podcast number 63 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Remember, you can listen live every day on 104.9 FM or on DAB or online at xfm.co.uk from 6 a.m. What was your favourite memory of that podcast?
Oh, it's potatoes and eggs. It was one hell of a meeting of minds, those two spokespeople on there. And we'll find out next week if they've been for a date.
Absolutely, yes. I also enjoyed the bit off-air during listening to that podcast where you slandered Louis Walsh. See you next week.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.